So thank you again, brothers and sisters, for praying for us. So just a little background of where we were. We went through the Alliance Academy of Jordan. As you know, Jordan is predominantly an Islamic country, where 99% of the population is Muslim and 1% Christian. So the team of nine of us went there to the academy to teach Chinese cooking classes and arts and crafts. And the goal was not about the teaching, but just to build bridges of love so that we have opportunity to share about the gospel. What's also unique about AAJ, too, is that the pastors many years ago were giving the vision, as well as the missionary there, to build a school to reach out to the Muslim community as well as the Christian community so that we would understand each other and not live in separation anymore. And what's so significant about this school, too, is that it's a school for all children. It is a school that will allow children of special needs to come in, children with handicap or autism, because in Jordan, these children are completely hidden from society. It's truly a source of shame for the family, but for the school, a Christian school, to really be the light and salt, to accept these kids to come in, is such a wonderful display of God's love there. So when we were there, we really felt God's favor because we were the only team that had full access to the entire school, from the staff to the children. And not only that, but we were able to teach them in many ways, but also to teach chapel time. So truly that was really, really eye-opening for us. So as we were coming back, we want to incorporate this time of sharing God's word as well, but also seeing what God is doing and how that can change our lives. So I just want to briefly share God's word today. While we were in Jordan, you know, we were all reading from the same TWA, right? Time with Abba. So if you can have that slide going on, Kevin. You have the first slide. So I titled this as Living in God's Power, Living in God's Love, and with Have a Sound Mind. So the verse is from 2 Timothy 1 through 7 and 8. It's the New King James Version. It goes, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God." So just a little bit background about this verse is that the great apostle Paul was very old already in Rome, and he was a prisoner, and he was like a spiritual father to Timothy. And at this time, Timothy was pastoring a church in Ephesus, and he's seeing all this persecution going on. And of course, he's getting timid and afraid of all the persecution. So Paul, in his second letter to Timothy, encourages him to not be afraid, but to put it fully on God's power and his love, and also have a sound mind. So I just want to explain maybe a little bit here more about why this is important for us today. I think God is also speaking us today, as we hear a lot of our testimony today, is that we all universally face fears, whether we're in the Middle East or in America. And the first step we have to understand is that fear is not from God. Fear could be from our circumstances, from our background, from our experiences. But know that fear is never, ever from God. It's simple as that. And here, Paul encourages Timothy to remain strong in the Lord, not by his own power, not by his own love, but by his, you know, just through God himself. So the kind of power that God is talking about here is not the kind of power that controls people, but the kind of power that loves on people. The love, again, that we know that Jesus came down to share with us is that I did not come to be served, but I came here to serve. And of course, we also know what a sound mind is, that when we're afraid, when we're fearful, we run into panic. So that's why Paul encourages Timothy to stay strong with the Lord. But is that it? Is that really all? Is it just for us? That's why the second verse here in verse 8 says, so therefore that you will not be ashamed. So sometimes I feel that sometimes we can be afraid to share about the gospel because we're timid or we're afraid that how people will ridicule us or say things about us that we don't like. But here Paul is saying again is that the power that I give you is to share about the gospel. Do not be trapped in your own fear, but use my power to proclaim the good news that Lord, that God is Lord over all, that in him, that people who do not know him need to know about his saving grace, that the Lord Jesus came down, so that we can be right with God, so that we no longer have to live in that shame and that fear. So that's what God is encouraging us. And also to enjoy the suffering, right? Sometimes when we go around, we share, or people in the Middle East, when they share about Jesus Christ, they're going to be put in jail. They will lose all of their possession. There's not different here in the United States if we were to share. You know, people may not accept for who we are, or they may feel that we're too religious. But I think I just want to encourage you that, you know, from the scripture, that's, I want to pass it on to you as well. So with this verse, we truly see the lives of our friends at AAJ really living out God's way. They were sharing with us many challenges they have, but yet they were so joyful in proclaiming the gospel in such a dark, dark land. For example, our missionary friends were telling us they're afraid of not knowing how to raise their children or how to take care of the illnesses. You know, the little things that we have here is magnified when you're in the front line. Challenges that seem so easy to conquer here, or illnesses where we can go to the doctor over there in Jordan is magnified. And just a few days when we came back, we heard from one of our missionary friends who we were with that he had a stroke. You know, so these fears are very, very real. For our pastors and our church workers, you know, how is it they can stand to lead a flock for 20 or 30 years where their church is only 30 or 50 members large? It's a country where only 1% of them are Christian. So when we were walking, how come this church is so small, you know, after 20, 30, or 40 years? But in the context of being just 1% of the population, that's a huge number. That's a huge, huge number. One of the pastor friends was just sharing with us that they have to be very careful of sharing about Jesus, even if they know somebody. And if that person would come and share about Jesus with them, that person can literally change their mind and tell the police and say, hey, this guy shared about Jesus with me, and they could be put in jail. And not only that, they have to have the wisdom of how to raise new converts to be faithful in the Lord. Even for the teachers that we were there with, they face challenges every day. It's like, how can they care for all these children that are coming in from such broken families? So in the midst of all of the challenges and fears, we really see them having the joy to love on the kids, love on all that come into the school. So maybe at this part, we can have Calvin, Mr. and Mrs. Lim to share of what God has shown them. And also maybe, and then afterward, Abigail can share, okay?
Hey, thanks, Alan. So I just wanted to share with you a little bit about what we learned during this trip. First of all, as was already said, thank you so much for praying for us, I think. Yeah, I mean, even though we were gone for just a week and, you know, we had our plans and we were quote-unquote prepared, but really, I think, you know, the unity that we experience and the way God opened our eyes to what he's doing there, I mean, I think that was definitely an answer to the prayer that you all covered us with. You know, I think we saw so much more than what we had planned to do just by our own strength. But yeah, so I'm going to share a little bit about just my own personal experience on this trip to Jordan. This was my, I guess, my first short-term mission trip, at least in a while. I mean, I had gone to one when I was in college, which was a while back. But certainly as part of this church, this was my first time going as part of this body. And as was already described, AAJ, Alliance Academy Jordan, that's a it's a Christian school, actually. I'm not sure if it was clear from the video, but this is actually a Christian private school in Jordan, serving right now first to sixth grade and also some kindergarten and preschool. And it's a new school, but it's been set up really with the mission to of building bridges of God's love to the community. As Alan was mentioning, you know, Jordan is a predominantly Muslim country. Christians are not, I mean, Christians are free to practice their faith. So it's not like Christianity is illegal or anything, but it is illegal to proselytize, to try to convert anyone from the Muslim faith. So we have to walk a very fine line when we are there. So I guess what we were trying to do really was maybe not so much through words, but certainly in deed to share God's love. And I think for me, well, you know, going out to a school and interacting with kids, honestly, you know, going there, I felt a little intimidated and uncertain how I could contribute because I feel like I'm really awkward around kids, especially young kids, you know. I mean, like, okay, high schoolers, you know, we could talk as peers, right? But like, I don't know, six-year-old. So I felt like, well, I don't know, what could I really do to contribute there? I felt like, oh, I was probably going to be the least useful person on the team, really. But and you know, and initially it was a little bit awkward, honestly, on the first day. I was like, oh yeah, kid. but I think what ultimately God did was to soften my heart. I think, you know, once I got over some of that little initial nervousness, I think God really shared his heart for those children, and it was really not coming from me. I really felt like by the end of the trip, you know, as I look around the classes, as I look around the kids, I really, really felt like, you know, that I loved them. You know, and again, it's really not my human love, but I could really sense, you know, God's love for them, and I think that really touched my heart, and it also, you know, just taught me how easy it is, to some extent, to share love with these kids. I mean, not always have the right words to say. I may not always be very good at communicating, but it's amazing what even just a smile can do, right? I mean, some of these kids, you know, by the way, the kids are from all kinds of backgrounds. You know, some are from maybe more middle class or even, you know, rich families in the area, but many are also from working class backgrounds. And some are from, you know, loving homes. Many are from maybe more broken backgrounds. But, you know, you go into those classrooms and, you know, you just smile at them and, you know, you just say a few words of encouragement, and it really, really goes a long way. And I was really amazed at how readily they responded too. You know, just, yeah, I mean, you know, just even when they're just like rolling sushi, as you saw in the video, you know, and sometimes the result may not really look that appetizing, but at the end of the day, you know, they're proud of what they did. And then they come up to you and say, look at what I did, you know, and actually, I felt like I could genuinely say, you know, well done. And I could feel like, in some sense, you know, I was representing Christ, telling them, you know, that, yeah, I mean, it's really not about what you do, you know, but again, by God's grace and love, right? I mean, it is well done. You know, you are good in God's eyes, you know, when you're covered by his grace. So I felt like, as a team, we were able to express that. And we pray that God will make use of those seeds that we planted. Another thing, too, was just realizing that was a place of spiritual battle. You know, in the video, of course, you saw, you know, going to the classroom, and we did a lot of fun stuff and everything. But at the same time, that's also an area of great spiritual darkness. It was really a front line. for, you know, the extension of God's kingdom. You know, as I already mentioned, under the surface, there's definitely a lot of brokenness. You know, even just talking to the kids, you know, you ask them about their parents, you know, just very, very simple conversations. And you get some, you know, even just from the way they answer, you know, I mean, not that we probe very deeply, but just to try and get to know them. You know, some of them are much more hesitant to talk about their families and their backgrounds. And you get the sense that there's some pain behind some of that. Right, and I think for me, what came across was just a desperate need for the gospel. I mean, of course, we all need the gospel everywhere. There's darkness everywhere. But for me, I guess on this trip, that became very real, just seeing each of those kids. And I really felt like, you know, I really, really wish, you know, that we could love each and every one of them into the kingdom because, yeah, I mean, and they really, really need the love of Jesus. So I think for me, yeah, again, just the way God softened my heart and gave me more love and compassion for that. And realizing that, yeah, really this is a battle that he's trying, you know, he's using us to fight, you know, to bring these kids into the kingdom. But we were also really humbled and encouraged by the missionaries that we met there, you know, the missionaries and the workers and the teachers. You know, in my opinion, I mean, although we were there to try and encourage them and minister to them, but really they encouraged and ministered to us. You know, I felt like we were with spiritual giants. You know, we were people really living in active faith, and I was really humbled by that. And many of them made a lot of sacrifices moving over there, or even the locals, some teachers, you know, they took they left higher paying jobs just so that they could work in this Christian school because they themselves were believers and they were trying to minister. You know, a lot of them made a lot of sacrifices. Some of the kids, you know, have all kinds of difficulties, and it's actually not easy to discipline some of these kids, and you know it's hard for them. But you know, but at the same time, they're doing it with the joy of the Lord, and that was really, really amazing to witness. And also, they really valued prayer. That's something that came across very, very strongly. You know, and you know, as a team, we had a chance to pray for many of these missionaries. We met in some of their homes, and we just, you know, said a few words of prayer over them. And I was just so touched by how moved they were. Like you could see from some of them, like the tears were streamed down their faces. You know, just to have fellow brothers and sisters pray for them. You know, I remember one of the missionary wives, she even said, you know, oh, I want to record this. I want to actually record the words of prayer that you guys are saying so that I can listen to it later, you know, and just remember what God is speaking for you. I mean, like, they really, really cherish, you know, prayer. And I think on the spiritual front line, on the front lines of battle, and they know the value of that. And for me, at least, it was just a humbling reminder of how important that is. And for me to be much more disciplined myself. Yeah, so, and you know, I can just give you so many examples. There was a kindergarten principal, too, who like, compiled this really long list of prayer requests, you know, not as a laundry list, but these are her own observations every single day in her work. And she's like, I want to pray for my staff, I want to pray for the kids, and by name, you know, and she shared a copy of that with our team so that we could pray. You know, I mean, for them, prayer is not just a, you know, chore or just something to do. You could see that it was something they really, really valued and can actually testify has made a difference. It was make or break for them. So that was, you know, very, very eye-opening and humbling for me. And yeah, and just the last thing too is, for me personally, this trip was also kind of full circle for me as a Christian, because I personally received Christ at a Christian school when I was in fourth grade, you know, through the love of my teachers who were Christian, and also through the weekly chapel sessions that, you know, taught me about God's word. And for me to get a chance to go to a Christian school, and actually, in fact, I even had a chance to speak at the chapel session to third and fourth graders, exactly the same age that I was when I received Christ. You know, I just felt like, and you know, I said, even though I couldn't share the gospel directly, I'm using, you know, the, I guess, words from the Bible in the direct form. But yeah, I was just so grateful that God gave me an opportunity to just go there, you know, and yeah, share his love to these children who were in the exact same desperate situation that I was at their age. You know, and I know that even at that age, you know, they can hear and receive the gospel and the love of Christ, because that's exactly what happened to me. And I really pray that, you know, whatever seeds we planted, you know, will continue to be nurtured there through the ministry of the staff and the teachers there. Yeah, so I think this whole trip really just gave me a big eternal perspective. And yeah, and also it's moved me a lot to pray for the people there. And I really ask that all of you pray for them as well. But yeah, and thank you to everyone who supported us, financially supported us in our prayer, in your prayers. And yeah, I want to encourage all of you, by the way, to go next year. You know, we're going to try and send out a team every year, hopefully. I mean, I guess Pastor Ted will share when we have more of that. Maybe it will change things up. But yeah, for me, it was such a tremendous, tremendous blessing to be there and witness what God is doing there. And I really, really hope that as many of us can go there and see it with our own eyes as well. So thank you.
Think I'll talk as long. Yeah, so AAJ was, I think we've repeated a few times now, it's really a sort of a beacon in a place of darkness. And we heard from the teachers and the leaders at the school that not only are they helping out the children, but they also have the chance to help the parents who come in, drop their kids off, but actually ended up being counseled by some of the members at the staff. So it's really an impact on the community. They also told us that the school is located in a very conservative Muslim community. So it's very difficult to even say the name of Jesus in amongst the parents and amongst the children. And they've gotten in trouble before for saying things like that. So it definitely is a unconventional and unintuitive place. Like, why would you set up a Christian school there? And I remember one of the missionaries sharing about the original vision to really bring light through education to the community. And I was just wondering about that. That was one of the first things they taught us, or they told us when we first arrived. Like, why the business of education? And, you know, we had full access to the school from kindergarten to sixth grade, and it was kind of a mixed schedule, so you have different ages at different hours. And I definitely saw, like, the progression of knowledge and maturity. I was very thankful when we got the sixth graders and not the first graders. I was like, thank you. But you definitely saw the difference in what education makes. And I think we all know that education is so valuable. But I was just very stuck on this word knowledge from in the beginning of the week. And we were reading from 2 Timothy, maybe the day after this verse, in the third chapter, Paul was describing the godlessness in the last days. So when that world ends, what are some of the godlessness that men are doing? And one of the verses was describing some of the behaviors. And one verse that really stood out to me, it described people who were always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. And it just kind of stood out to me because it seems like I'm always learning. And am I arriving at the knowledge of the truth? So I just want to share about sort of my personal takeaway from this trip. Several weeks before we left for Jordan, one of my uncles have passed away. And when we first found out that he was sick, we thought he had a few months left. He had cancer. After we found out, he actually passed away the very next day. So the hardest part in grieving for him is that I knew he didn't accept Christ during his lifetime. And I felt so desperate for him to know Jesus. So when I got the message that he's gone, it was this really big realization that he will never have hope. So when I went to Jordan and I met the kids at AHJ, they stood out to me like they were at the beginning of their life and my uncle was at the end of his life. And I really wish he had the education like the kids had at AHJ, because I felt like my uncle was always learning and never arriving at the truth of God. We amass so much knowledge in our lives, maybe in school or at work, or the internet. We think we know all that we need to know. But have we ever considered at the end of our lives, or other people at the end of their lives. After we've pursued all these passions, did we really know Jesus? So at AAJ, it's not really about math or science or art class or whatever subjects they teach there, but I really felt like the workers and the leaders at the school had this really deep desire to teach the knowledge of God and the saving love of God to the kids. The teachers can't really say the name of Jesus. They cannot spread the gospel. It's illegal. So they really exemplify the love of Christ through their actions and their deeds. But I think one night, one of the missionaries was sharing with us that, yes, we can do good deeds, but we also need to proclaim the truth. So please pray for them. The school is relatively young, and they're still continuing to grow. And, you know, the Muslim culture is so intolerant of Jesus, so they need to be very strategic in that fine line that they draw between educating and proclaiming the gospel. Alan and Kelvin mentioned they have a chapel time. It's a relatively new thing that they started this year. Once a week, the kids meet in a chapel to be taught on spiritual topics. So Kelvin taught one class, and Alan taught one, and Hannah taught one. So they're inviting us to pray for them for direction and discernment. How do they strategically introduce the gospel to the children at the chapel time? So when I came home and I was just comparing my experience in Jordan to my life here, I also realized sometimes our culture here can be intolerant of Jesus. So I hope New Vine, in some ways, is like AAJ. There are no classes. Well, there will be soon, I guess. But I really hope that when we gather, we'll deepen and extend the knowledge of God, because when our time comes, that's the thing that matters the most. Thank you.
Hi. My phone died, so I don't have my notes, but I just want to share my experience and what I really received from this trip. So it's my second time to the Middle East. So it wasn't a huge culture shock for me. But the thing that most people asked me before I went was, are you scared? And isn't it dangerous? My biggest worry was how I was going to get all my schoolwork done. The fears that I have here in the U.S., they didn't change when I went to Jordan. Because I knew that God would keep us safe and protect us as we were doing our ministry. But you've heard about AAJ, and I think a lot of people here have stereotypes of what goes on in the Middle East. But actually, they think America's dangerous. So we kind of have different perceptions of each other. But going, you never know what God is doing there until you actually see it firsthand. And that was the experience I was able to get. And I'm very thankful for that. You know about AJ. One of the families there was a lower income family, and they were having trouble paying the tuition for their students. So their daughter, her name is Natalie, she's in fourth grade. I actually learned a lot more from her than I would if I had stayed in school and not gone on the trip. She has glasses. Her family they worked hard to pay for her glasses, and because she had that, she actually wants to grow up and become an eye doctor to help people who helped her and to help people like her. So that itself was very... She kind of set an example for me, and that was very touching. But just hearing her story, her mom works as a, she helps refugees. It was very humbling to me because the way she saw things in life, she made a video for us. She said that she was very thankful for her parents and for being able to just go to school. So for me, going to school, I never really liked school. It was just like something I had to go to every day. But coming back from the trip and seeing that some people have to work hard to be able to send their kids to school, it was very humbling, and it made me thankful for everything that I have, because I feel like many kids my age or younger or older, they feel entitled to have schooling or to have church or to have a family, a good family and a good house and good food. But over there, they saw things very differently. And everything that's really small to us is big for them. Even something like glasses, which is easy for me to get. But for her, that changed her whole future. And so she was an example to me, and I'm so thankful that I was able to hear her story. Our children's ministry is supporting her tuition now. And it was kind of a miracle, because her mom, the day before, they found out that we would be supporting her and her brother. She was struggling, and she needed something to help her daughter go to school. And the day after, we were able to give that to her. And not just through coincidence, it was something truly from God. So that's just a small bit of what we experienced there. And thank you for everyone who supported us. It was a good experience. Thank you.
Kevin, I think we have that video of Natalie. If you can go to that slide and play that. Not that one, the next one. There she goes.
Hi. My name is Natalie, and I want to thank you guys from all the support and help and helping us. And I want to thank my mom and my dad, because they made my dream come true before they made their dream come true. And I want to thank everyone who helped us. Bye.
And Natalie, can you share one more thing, that what you want to do when you grow up?
I want to be a famous eye doctor.
Yes.
Why?
Because I want to help people who help us.
Thank you.
So I know we're running a little bit late, but with your permission, I'm just going to continue on. So how can we apply what we learned during our trip? I just feel like as God was using Paul to speak to Timothy, I sense that God is using the people of AAJ speaking to us at New Vine here. I just want to give us three quick lessons that we can take away from. The first lesson is that we must be living in God's power, love, and a sound mind. You know, we all have fears, right? I was afraid of leaving the United States for a week, not for myself, but for my wife, who's going to take care of her and the two children back and forth, and the big responsibility of running a dental practice and having about 1,000 patients to call. And I feel like I'm always at the beck and call all the time. But God gently reminded me, actually, he kind of rebuked me a little bit. He says that you're in no position to take care of anybody. In the stillness of that moment, I said, yes, Lord, you're right. I have no power to do anything. I'll go. And my wife agreed to that. And I'm so glad that I did go, because as you heard, there were so many amazing stories that came out. And I think we were just touching the tip of it. What they didn't share also was that next to the school, there is an auditorium that's being built. And this auditorium can fit about 400 to 500 people, and it's to outreach to the community. But yet this auditorium will also is going to be used as a church. Just imagine that place being filled with 500 Christian people, and will be the largest evangelical church, not only in Amman, but throughout of Jordan. So God is doing an amazing thing right there. And for us to be able to walk along the stairs and the unbroken ground yet, it's amazing to see what the future can hold. So again, I had fears. So I just want to ask you this question. Are there any fears that any of you may have, whether it's about health, whether it's about circumstances, whether it's about anything. Perhaps it's today is a time just to come to the Lord and say, Lord, take it from me. I know some of us may not be walking with the Lord or have not committed to the Lord. I just want to encourage you that our leaders are here today too, if you want to come up and just receive prayer for that. I want to encourage you just to live in God's power, to live in God's love, and no longer have to be a fearful mind, but a sound mind from the Lord. My second takeaway from this one is that God can also always use us as a channel of blessing, whether it's here or there. You've heard that when we were there, not only we were teaching classes, but in the evenings, although we were tired and probably jet lagged, we had an opportunity to go to different missionaries' homes and to eat wonderful meals, but what they were really lacking was spiritual connection. They're giving out all the time, day in and day out, but just to have a fellowship with another Christian brother to pray to them, just to release God's word of, hey, keep on fighting the good fight for the Lord, but to proclaim God's truth, because this land, these children, these people need to know the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. Before I went, I learned this from my last mission trip, was to always pray for a picture or pray for a name. The Lord gave me a name of a boy named Ahmed or him. I didn't know. And I asked the Lord, what is that for? So this is the name of the boy that God pressed on my mind. On the first day, I was looking around in all our classes. I couldn't find any kid named Ahmed. I walked around. I asked, is your name Ahmed? No, my name is this or that. On the second day, I did the same thing, and no response. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm just going to leave it to you. But then on the third day, when we were teaching the sushi class, there's this one second grader that just got to me. He would not do anything we asked him to do. He was saying, oh, this is smelly sushi, this, and he would not do it. But then the Lord says, just hold back. And then after class, he was the last one to leave. And he came over to me and he kissed me. Thank you. And I said, what was that all about? That evening I went back and I just thought about some more. And then the next morning I came and I asked one of the teacher, and I asked his name what it was. And he said, his name is Aham. I said, Lord, what do you want me to say? Do you want me to pray for this boy? What do you want me to do with this message that you already told me? So the Lord told me this, that Aham is perfectly where he is. He needs to be at this school. But the only reason why he's able to love you is because of the love that his teachers are able to give to him. Because otherwise he would be shamed at home, isolated from society. So he came and he kissed me. And when we had a chance to share with the teacher at chapel, because they're all frustrated, they all like, we don't know what to do with these kids. What are we going to do? But then I told them the same story that I'm telling you right here now, is that this school is for these kids. And continue to do what you're doing. Continue to love on them, because this is how this society is going to change. So again, you know, we can always be a source of blessing, whether it's here to our brothers and sisters or anyone that's in need of Jesus. Okay? And my third point is this, is that we have to be bold to proclaim the name of Jesus. We have to really be bold, because without Jesus, you know, eternity is lost forever. And here we have such an opportunity to share, but yet we may be cowered away from sharing it because of what we may be perceived as too religious, too radical. Just to say the name of Jesus and that he loves you. So, I mean, I was stuck in that too, because as going out, you know, we wanted to send support letters. There are a bunch of my doctor's friends that I said, wait a minute, am I going to send a support letter asking these guys? I don't know if they're a follower of Christ or not, but God reminded me, just send it anyway. And to my surprise, that half of them came back and said, wow, what are you doing? wow, you know, great. Isn't this the most busy time of your, but yet you still want to go? But yeah, I said, yeah. So this gave me an opportunity to proclaim about Jesus, to share about Jesus, how Jesus worked in my life, and why am I going, to proclaim the gospel in a place that's hard, but yet what's harder is that our missionary brothers and sisters who are on the field day and night. And like you've heard where Calvin said about sacrifices of the missionaries. They came, you know, leaving their homes, the comfort of their homes, but yet proclaiming the name of Jesus there. So I have some prayer points right over here. If you can keep this in your prayer throughout the whole week. First is always to pray for all the Muslim students and their family to really receive the knowledge of Christ, because they believe something else completely different. And of course, to pray for our brothers and sisters who are out there in the field, for the work that they're doing, for protection of their family and their kids and their marriages, but also to pray for ourselves that we will have the boldness to share the good news. We're not persecuted, but sometimes I feel that we may be imprisoned by our own fears of rejection or what people may label us. So can you go to the next slide, Kevin? This is a little gift from our sister Tamar. She's she wants to sing us a little song in Arabic. Can you play that? Can you turn that on?
Come on. Okay, first do How Great, okay. And then do your song.
How great is our God?
In Arabic,
what?
Yeah.
Okay. Azim, ya Allah, kam anta azim, ya Allah, kam anta azim, azim, ya Allah, anta malikul mulk, mustahiqqun lis-sujud, wa satubsirul uyun, kam anta azim, anta malikul mulk.
Let us stand and I'll pray for us. Thank you, Father, for being such a great God, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your love that is never endless. Lord, that you truly are a faithful God, Lord. We pray, Lord, that we continue to live in your spirit of power and of hope and of a sound mind, Lord, to cast all away fears, Lord. We pray, Lord, for our brothers and sisters who are at the front line, Lord. They're truly on the frontier. Lord, we pray that they will continue to be persevering through all of the work that you have for them, Lord. We pray for your joy to continue to be upon them every single day, Lord. Father, we also pray for the Muslim children and their families who do not know your name yet, Lord. We pray, Lord, that the gospel will be planted and growth and birth, not only for the city, Lord, for the entire nation of Jordan, Father. Lord, we pray that our continued partnership with AAJ will grow in the coming years, And we pray, Lord, for any of our brothers here and sisters here, Lord, that ever have a desire, Lord, to proclaim your good news in remote places of the world, that you will speak to them, Lord. And Father, for us, all of us here too, Lord, that we truly live in your power and in your grace and in your love, Lord. So, Father, as we go on today, we continue to ask your presence to be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.